so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train.
I like that you have to have the lyrics up.
Where you lead, I will follow.
Oh boy.
Anywhere that you if you need, you need me to be with you, I will follow. Take it.
No.
Where you lead, I will follow. Andy, welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno, the spoil sport over here is right. Jen Luttrell.
All right. I had a long day.
Yeah?
I had a long day of walking.
Do you want to... You walked literally a block.
Which is more than my legs are used to.
Do you want to sing the end credit theme? Dun 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 dun. It's kind of it.
Yeah.
It's like the action. It's the action music.
Yeah.
It's the action theme.
Yep.
Well, here we are again.
Mm-hmm.
Back so soon.
Yep.
It's season 3 of Gilmore Girls.
Flew right by.
You bet it did. If you haven't listened to season 1 of Gilmore Girls and season 2 of Gilmore Girls, well, then I say you pause this podcast right now. You go to your feed and you look at the PCMC episode list and you start with those.
Mm-hmm.
For those,
good ones.
You bet they are. For those of you who are new to this, I'm new to the show. Jen's seen it a million times and she's presenting it to me.
Such a great show.
Jen has a lot of nostalgia about it. I'm coming to it as an adult man.
Mm-hmm.
We have some differences of opinions on things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish the show had more hardcore sex.
All right.
Between Dean and Lorelai.
No. No one needs that. No one asked for that.
So we're on season 3. So we end
the best season.
Please don't tell me that because there's like 900 more.
I didn't say the other seasons were bad.
You just said this was the best?
I said this is the best season.
But that also means it'll never be this good again.
I mean, I like the next season.
How many more were there?
There's 7. So 4?
7 and then...
7 total.
With the special ones?
Oh.
The Netflix ones.
I always forget that we have to do those.
Of course we have to do those.
Yeah.
It's the end of the story. Not really.
Yeah.
It'll come back. There'll be more. Don't you think? You don't think there'll ever be more?
I mean, they left on a cliffhanger and never went back to it.
Yeah. They'll get to it. You know when Lorelai's on hiatus from that new Mighty Duck show.
Right.
So we usually end, because I haven't seen them before, we usually end every episode with me predicting what will happen in the next season. And I have to say, I'm doing fucking really well.
Yep.
I predicted a bunch of stuff that came true in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I said Rory and Jess would be together.
Well, yeah, everyone knew that.
I said that the season 3 would begin with, like, it just being awkward and no one being with anybody.
Mm.
I predicted Paris would get a boyfriend. I was right. Mm.
She does. It's cute.
Yes. All right. So where do we start?
With those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer.
Oh, geez.
The big city band that Taylor gets for whatever he filled September with.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Whatever festival he filled September with. No, it starts with Rory and Paris are in Washington.
Yes.
Because they won their student election.
Mm-hmm.
So the winners get to spend the summer in Washington, D.C., which is where Paris meets her boyfriend. Or soon-to-be boyfriend.
In season 3, Paris is, I feel like she's full-blown good guy.
Yeah.
She's full blown good guy now. What's the boyfriend's name? Can't remember, huh? Gotta look it up, huh?
I don't know.
Gotta look it up on that IMDb there.
Some
fan you are.
I know.
Some Gigi super fan.
I know it. I don't know why.
Do you though?
Yeah.
Is it Preston? Something like that?
Jamie.
Yeah, I was close. Jamie, that's right. Because she'd be like, Jamie told me last night, Jamie and me watched. I don't know.
What?
I'm not doing a good Paris impression. It sounds too much like Moira Rose. Jamie. Yeah, she finally gets a boyfriend, and she loses it a little bit. She gets a little cuckoo.
Yeah, it's not something she's used to.
Mm-hmm.
She's used to devoting all her time and energy into school.
And then you've got Lorelai is heartbroken, right? Because at the end of season two, right, it looked like she was going to get back with Christopher, Rory's father. And then he was like, oh no, Sadie's pregnant. And
Sherry.
Right. Sadie's pregnant and I can't run out on another kid, so bye.
Yeah.
And then Emily, Lorelai's mother, seems mad at her for not making it work with Christopher, like it's her fault.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, she shouldn't make her feel bad. Mm-hmm. But also, Lorelai doesn't give her any information.
Right.
So she just assumes that it's Lorelai's fault.
Yeah.
That things didn't work out.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, I guess it was kind of Lorelai's fault when they were 16.
I guess, yeah. Make it,
which not really.
But okay. No, not really, no.
All right.
It's one of the weird things about the show, which is like, they're so good with Rory.
Right.
And it's just like, you just feel like, why can't they... It's like, why can't they just... It seems like they have tons of resentment towards Lorelai instead of having any compassion for her. Right. I mean, they're growing.
Right.
Christopher comes over and he makes a scene and Emily kicks him out.
Yeah.
And she's like, I think you better leave now, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, because Lorelai and Rory aren't answering any of his, like, emails or calls or anything.
Right.
And he's upset. Because, well, he wants to talk to Lorelai, but then he's also mad because he thinks Lorelai kept Rory from him.
Right, but it was Rory's choice.
Yeah.
And she says that.
Yeah, and then that's when Emily eases up a bit because Lorelai says, like, don't you understand how much it hurts me to talk to you? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Emily sees it eventually.
That's what I say to the ice cream man in the summertime when I see him and he's trying to sell me ice cream and I'm like... Don't you know how much it hurts me to talk to you?
Yeah.
That's a true story. Kirk asks Lorelai out, which is...
Fantastic.
Really where I want the series to go.
Yeah.
I want it to be the Lorelai and Kirk show. You know what? Good for him. I think it's actually the boldest thing he does in the whole series so far. Because he knows what he wants.
Yeah.
Although I like that he sort of treats it like they've got this obvious chemistry that something finally has to happen with.
Yeah.
And doesn't she go out with him? Doesn't she like, does she
no.
go somewhere with him? What does she do? I forget how she handles it.
He is like.
Oh, he gives her time, right? He's like, I'll give you some time to think about this.
Right. But in the meantime, he like. Asks her, like, what kind of food she would prefer for dinner. And he goes to Luke to, like, ask his advice on asking Lorelai out.
Yeah.
But she says something like, I just got out of a really weird relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I know that sounds like a line, but, like, we're such good friends. I don't really want to ruin this.
Yeah.
Yeah. She lets him down.
She does let him down. Poor guy.
In the meantime, he gets confused by her answering machine when he tries to call her, which is pretty fun.
But I bet Kirk has a huge penis.
Probably.
Right?
Probably.
He's got that BDE.
I don't know.
So I guess one of the big Rory developments is, thus far the character has always had this dream of going to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandfather went to Yale and he kind of wants her to go to Yale.
Right.
And she's starting to think about it, but I think she's also starting to, I think she grows a lot in this season in terms of what she wants. And I think she sort of realizes that, like, she didn't know anything about Harvard. It was just a word to her. It was just a dream to her.
Right.
And she realizes what she really wants, the reality of what she wants.
Right.
One of the interesting things I think about season 3 is the show dips into these different lives of different people for the benefit of both us, the audience, and Rory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got the episode where she goes to the alumni, or she goes to lunch with an alumni.
Right.
Or alumna. I don't know how, what, is that one singular?
I think alumnus is an singular. Alumnus.
And he's got that family, and they're super nice, and they're, like, playing, like, super smart trivia at dinner. And Lorelai doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Right.
And then she meets the cool daughter who, like, doesn't fit in with the family.
Yeah, there's two kids. There's a son and a daughter that are, like, going to Harvard, and then they treat, like, the other daughter like she's on drugs.
Right.
And has thrown her life away when really she just doesn't want to go to college.
Right.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the girl's such a juxtaposition to Rory because she has, not to say that Rory isn't privileged, because fucking they are, but her immediate mother isn't rich. And this girl seems like her whole life is set up for her to go to like an Ivy League school, and she doesn't want that.
Right.
So she's sort of, she's an opposite of Rory, yet I think she proves an interesting role model because she's doing what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes Rory think about, what do I actually want?
Right. Yeah.
See, I think Rory has the ability to ask herself what she actually wants, where Lorelai didn't.
Right.
Right? Lorelai just had to survive.
Yeah, and I feel like she's been in that mode kind of since.
Yeah.
Because she does not bend when really she should.
Yeah.
Also, there's some things that, like, I don't really get. Because, like, so Lorelai didn't go to college. But I don't understand how she doesn't know that Rory has to apply to more than Harvard. I don't understand how that doesn't, because so they're at Thanksgiving dinner with the grandparents, and they invite friends over, and the friends are talking about how their grandson is applying to all these schools, and it just like comes up that Rory also applied to Yale, but along with the rest of the Ivy League. Like, it's not like she just applied to Harvard and Yale.
Right.
And Lorelai just like loses it over the fact that she didn't just apply to Harvard, but also the fact that she applied to Yale. And it's like, how do you not know that? There, you know that there's a possibility that Rory could not get into Harvard. So how do you not know that you would?
Here's what I think.
I just don't get it. I just don't get that scene.
Here's what I think. I think in Lorelai's mind,
mm-hmm.
from the moment Rory was born, they were partners, despite the fact that one's a mother.
Right.
They were partners in crime, and that they were going to do, they were going to take on the world together.
Right.
And they had a plan together.
Right.
And if anything comes along that seems to affect Rory and Rory's plan, especially if it's the grandparents, because Lorelai has so much resentment against the grandparents, she freaks out. Because it's like, she thinks of it as like, this is our plan together.
Right.
Because we are rebelling against my parents.
Right.
And Rory doesn't have those feelings of resentment against her grandparents at all.
No, she doesn't.
But this happens over and over again in all three of the seasons we've watched. When Lorelai thinks that the parents are overreaching in Rory's life, she gets mad, and then she gets more mad if Rory says they're not over.
Right, right. I don't know. That. Yeah. No, you're right. It's really just that one line when it's right before they say that she applies to Yale.
Yeah.
That they talk about backup schools, and Lorelai's like, we applied other places.
Right.
I can't fathom that.
She should just know as a person.
I just don't understand that. Right. As a person who understands odds, like, I just don't understand that.
Well, you also have something that's going on, which is Rory is eclipsing her.
Right.
Rory's now smarter than her.
Right.
And you know, when Rory was a little girl, it was probably fun to be like, you're going to go to Harvard, and we're both going to do whatever we can for you to go to Harvard.
Yeah.
And now,
I wonder if that's where Lorelai was heading Because remember last season when we went to Harvard and she was like looking at, there was, I don't know what they were. I don't know if they do. Well, yeah, you have valedictorians college, but
wasn't she looking at like
the year she should have graduated?
Right. She was looking at life that she didn't have.
Because she didn't go to college at all.
Right.
But I'm just thinking like maybe Harvard was her plan, and that's why she's so stuck on Harvard.
Maybe
because she missed a year.
Right.
She could have been applying.
Right.
We don't know. We never know. We never find that out.
Right.
If like there was any college plan in the works somewhere.
Although we do have an episode in season 3 that's a real departure from what Gilmore Girls normally gives us, which is the episode where Sadie has her baby. We see flashbacks of Emily in a horrible 80s wig trying to be like younger, and it's not working. But
and Richard with like dyed hair and a shaved face.
But you have like these, I don't know who these kids are, they didn't look familiar to me, but they hired a pretty interesting girl to play young Lorelai.
Oh yeah, she was good. No, but I told you the guy is in Halloween Town.
He's the first
he's like the goblin. I always forget his name.
Yes. The one he's going on to big things. But anyway, in the episode where Sadie has her baby, you see these flashbacks to these moments in, it's not, well, how should I put it? It's Lorelai's basically her pregnancy. We see her learn that she's pregnant. We see.
Right. Well, it's a few things that trigger it because it's Sherry having the baby, but they're also planning their backpacking trip to Europe after Rory graduates. That's going to be their summer. So Richard and Emily send them books from when they were planning their trip to Europe, which is like really what triggers the first flashback.
Right.
Because I guess it was when Rory and, I mean, I'm sorry.
Lorelai and Christopher.
Not even Lorelai and Christopher. It was when her family was planning to go to Europe, but they were looking at the books.
Right.
And like planning.
In the flashback.
Like, yeah, and planning like a, you know.
Right.
Getaway.
Right. Well, that whole episode, it jumps back and forth in time. But it ends up wrapping itself up because even though Lorelai doesn't really like Sadie that much, she's sort of going crazy to get there.
Yeah.
To be with her because Christopher isn't able to be there.
And Christopher's out of town.
Right. And we see in the very end of the episode the flashback of
the baby.
Lorelai has her baby and nobody's there. She's entirely alone. Christopher's not there. Her parents aren't there.
Right.
And we now realize this is why Lorelai was putting in so much effort to go and be with Sadie.
Right.
Because
Sherry.
Yeah. Because she knows what that's like.
Yeah.
That's a very lonely thing to have a kid all by yourself. Which again shows why like she sees Rory less as a daughter and more as like a partner.
Right. Yeah.
But those are really interesting because I mean before they wrapped it up in the end, I was like, why are they doing this now? This is the third season. This could have been in the pilot.
Right.
But they kind of wrap it up thematically pretty interestingly. And I think one thing that's illuminating about it is, you know, the kid who plays young Lorelai is a kid. She always says that she was 16, but you know Lorelai now, and it's like, oh yeah, she really was just a child.
Right.
She really
it's
knew
different to see it.
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing about anything.
Right.
I think season one, we talked about how it was sort of tonally all over the place.
Yeah.
It's not sure what it wants to be. It's not even sure of like who its main characters are going to be and stuff. It really finds itself. And then season two is much better. It at least knows what it is. Mm-hmm. But I think season three, I don't know, it's built its own thesis. I think it understands itself more than season two.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, so going back to the thing about how season three shows us these different lives. There's also the interesting episode where this new man moves next door to Lorelai and Rory.
That's right.
And he's like, I'm going on a trip. And he wrangles Lorelai into...
Dwight? Was that his name? Dwight?
I think so. He wrangles Lorelai into watering his grass.
Yeah.
And
then eventually his plants.
Right. And they give them his key. And so they go in, and Rory is interested and fascinated by this guy's life.
Yeah.
Because the interior of his home is like tiki themed.
Yeah.
And very far out and weird.
Right. He calls it the Oasis.
Right.
And he has an like a cuckoo clock.
Right.
That sings 8 o'clock at the Oasis.
I think she's kind of like the girl, the alumnus's daughter.
The alumni.
I think is again intrigued by a self-actualized adult. Or right, a self-actualized person who knows what they want.
Right. Yeah.
Even though, like, you know, his perfect oasis isn't perfect because his ex-wife calls, yet another appearance by Alex Borstein.
Oh, is as that the voice also? Of his ex-wife. Oh, right. You said that. I forgot.
She also has another character in this season. She
pops up again.
In like a straight up mad TV character. She's got on like a fat suit and she's doing it. And of course, she's one of the stars of Marvelous Miss Maisel, which is the same creator.
Right.
So she must have some blackmail folder of Palladino murdering somebody. That's how she stays at work. And it's like, listen, you put me in everything for the rest of your life.
I mean, to be fair, she was supposed to be Suki. And if everything went right, she would have been Melissa McCarthy. So if it was me, I would have been like, whatever you want. Whatever you want.
You could be the star of my next show. You want to keep coming back as silly characters? You keep coming back. You could be the fucking... It's like it's almost like Coming to America with like all the Eddie Murphy characters. It's like, at what point... This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but you're right. In the first season, she's in the opening.
Yeah.
She has a title card in the opening. Like, she was meant to be, like, a star of this show.
Right.
And then
right.
They quickly were like, we don't need this sassy heart player.
Right. Right.
We've already got... You know what I think it is? You already have the female best friend in Suki. And you already have the asshole in...
Michelle. I love Michelle. So
there's no need for Alex Borstein's character.
That's right. Suki's always had my heart.
She's so skinny in this season. She must have, she must have like gone on a diet or something, right? Compared to season one, season two, she's almost as thin as she is like right now, currently.
Yeah. I don't know. And she's supposed to be pregnant.
Yeah. Right. She, like, her storyline with Jackson is going along.
Yeah.
You've got Lane has a storyline that is interesting. Her music. Her drumming, which turned into her band, now she has a boyfriend. She has
Dave
Rogowski, right?
Yeah.
Played by Adam Brody.
Mm-hmm.
Who is very cute.
Yeah, they're super cute.
Yeah.
And I hate that, eventually he had to leave for the OC, but
that makes
me sad.
But no, I mean, for somebody who's, look at the record. I'm pretty hard on Lane.
Yeah.
Up until now, I have found her storylines simply to be a distraction.
Right.
They're not, my feeling was in season one and season two was they were so far removed from the thread of Rory's life that it felt like a whole different show.
Mm-hmm.
But with the band and with the band rehearsing in Rory's house.
Yeah.
I feel like they found a way to just make it work more.
Yeah, yeah.
So, of course, you've got her horrible mother who wants her to marry a Korean boy.
She gets better.
Yeah, I know. She's getting there. But that's her strife this season.
Yeah.
Right? She loves a boy who's not Korean, so she knows her mother's not going to accept him. Right. She wants him to take her to prom. She knows her mother's not going to accept it. She's in a band. She knows her mother's not going to accept that. She comes up with a crazy convoluted plan to introduce him into her life by having him play Christian music at her mother's like events.
Yeah, well, he kind of kicks that off because so there's a dance marathon.
Great episode.
Yes. Is something that I've always wanted to do.
Yes.
But if I actually had to do it, I wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
So at the dance marathon, they're serving sandwiches. And he comes in and visits her and then kind of like starts off, like kind of lays the foundation for the lies to start because he introduces himself to her mother and he says that his parents are at private Bible study to try to like get in good with her.
Right.
And that they're serving eggless egg salad, which like,
ooh, yeah.
And he's like, oh, these are so delicious. Can I take some to my parents?
Yeah.
So, yes. Lane takes it from there, but he definitely takes the initiative because he wants to be with
her. There's a lot of secrecy around them, though, because they're also keeping their relationship a secret from their other bandmates.
Oh, yeah, because at least they're afraid. While. Yeah, because they're afraid that, like, in case they break up, they don't want it to be weird.
Yeah.
With everyone, I suppose.
But I think that's part of Lane's character, even before Adam Brody. Like, I think to live with her mom,
she
has learned to, like, live secret lives and stuff. She also dyes her hair in this season, right? Is that this season?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, right. It is this season because they buy the makeup from the
Jess's girlfriend.
The girl, the fast and easy girl, Jess's. They really, that girl's represented as bad, as trouble. Yeah. I guess we didn't say when Rory comes back, Dean is still her boyfriend, technically. Oh, right. And Jess didn't. While he was waiting around, he just started hooking up with some girl.
Yeah.
That we see him making out with publicly all the time. Yeah. She's a blonde bombshell.
Yeah.
And, they at one point to rebel, Lane is like, I'm going to dye my hair. But Rory goes in with her because she wants to check out, what's her name again?
Shane.
And then she's
I don't think, she's surprised to see her.
I don't think she knows
that she's working there because when she gets up to the counter, like
her whole
demeanor changes.
Right, you're right. Yeah.
So they dye her hair purple.
Yeah.
And then Lane's mom comes home and she freaks out and she sends Rory back out. And that's when she has like the weird exchange with the girl with Shane.
Because
she has to go buy. Lane sends her out to buy black hair dye to put it back before her mom notices.
Yeah.
And Rory just gets like really nasty with her because she knows that she's on the phone with Jess.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Let's get back to the dance contest. Or the contest in which whoever
stays, it's like a 24-hour marathon, so who's ever left standing is the winner. Right.
The name of the episode is They Shoot Gilmore's, don't they? Which is there's a movie about the same premise called They Shoot Horses, don't they?
Every Gilmore Girls episode is named after something that they say. I don't think they say it.
Well, I believe it's an homage to that film.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
I don't think they say it.
That upsets me.
Sorry. But I think Gilmore Girls is at its best when the writers come up with some insane, stupid town event where you can get every character there at the same time doing their thing.
Yep.
You know, you'll have Lorelai doing her thing with Luke. You'll have Rory doing her thing with her many suitors. You'll have Taylor being a dick. You'll have some asides with Kirk. You have some asides with Miss Patty.
And Babette.
And you'll have a whole... And that's what it is. That's the whole episode.
Yeah. It's so great.
And then it ends greatly with Dean breaking up with Rory in front of everybody.
Yeah. So also, Lorelai wants to win. That's like the whole thing. She wants to win so bad because Kirk wins every year and she wants to take him down.
Yeah.
And she tries to find a dance partner and her dance partner backs out. So she takes Rory.
Yeah.
So when Rory, what was it? Oh, no, Lorelai's shoe broke.
Yeah.
So she left.
Right. You're allowed to like leave as long as one of your partners there, I think.
Yeah, you have to have like a yellow card or something.
Yeah, something.
And you get like a 10-minute break. Right.
And we should say Jess shows up to just be a creep and be around and basically just stare at Rory and Dean.
Right.
And he just won't stop. Right. And it's weird. And he's constantly like trying to intimidate Dean or like lock horns with Dean. Mm-hmm. And Jess's girlfriend, Shane, is like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Right.
I mean, he's like sitting there reading a book. Like he's just like, he's basically kind of antagonizing Rory.
Right.
And Rory and Jess are fighting so passionately that it's just obvious that they like each other.
Right.
So Dean, this is a big moment, I think, because Dean has known that Rory doesn't like him anymore for so long. He's kind of been like, you know, I mean, he's not perfect. I don't want to act like he's this perfect victim. But he's had no upper hand in this situation at all. And he's the one who finally, instead of waiting for her to dump him, he just says, you know what? I'm done. I'm breaking up with you.
Yeah.
And it's a good little moment for him. He stands up for himself a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. And because of that, Rory leaves and then they lose.
Right. Yeah. Because Lorelai is still off the dance floor. Getting her shoe. Oh, because Luke fixes her shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Rory just walks out.
There's really not much movement on the Lorelai Luke stuff.
No.
I mean, you've got like, you've got everyone around them seems to be aware of it.
Right.
Jess is very aware of it. Jess will reference it.
Oh, yeah. Especially when they fight.
And then in the season finale of season 3,
yeah,
Luke has a dream.
Yeah.
Where, because he's going on like, he's going away for a few weeks with this lawyer that he's been dating in season 3.
Yeah,
that he Nicole. Likes, but you can tell he's still into Lorelai.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a dream that Lorelai comes to him and says, don't get engaged. Because she makes a joke earlier on that, oh, you're going to get engaged on this trip.
Yeah.
And he's like, why shouldn't I get engaged?
Right.
And it had me. It fooled me. Because I was like, oh, okay, something's happening. And then he woke up.
Yeah. They can't give it to us yet.
Okay. We're about to start season 4. Well, you know what it is? You have an endless parade of duds in Lorelai's life. As interesting as Rory's boyfriends are, that's how uninteresting Lorelai's
love life is. Lorelai gets one boyfriend that I really like. I mean, I know they won't stay together because it had to be Luke, but
right.
I really liked him.
But in season 3, she starts dating the dad from Twilight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just no mustache. Yep. And he's a fucking dud. Another dud.
Yeah.
And speaking of duds, fucking Max comes back for no reason.
Yeah. But I mean, Rory's out. We're done.
Yeah. She graduates from Chilton at the end of season 3. That's the sort of closing of season 3.
Mm-hmm.
No cliffhanger, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
It could have been an end point of the series.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's more to do, but I think
right.
You could have seen the end. Maybe they didn't know if they were coming back.
Right. Yeah. Also, Paris has...
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is one of the best storylines in the whole third season. Paris breaks down. Talk about it.
Yeah. So Paris and Rory have like a little bit of a falling out because...
Francie.
Yeah.
There's political drama in this season.
yeah. So their head of the student council. So like Francie's on the student, right? The student council?
Yeah, yeah.
She like wants like dumb agendas pushed through and she needs Rory on her side to do it because everyone knows that you can't break Paris.
Right.
So she like antagonizes Rory but she like does it through Paris because she knows that Rory will defend Paris and Rory's like, so what if Paris isn't around as much? Like, don't you think that she deserves to have a boyfriend? And Francie uses that and brings it up to Paris. And then Paris is just upset that Rory told her that she had a boyfriend, which I don't know why that's upsetting.
Because I think she doesn't like any vulnerability.
Yeah,
and
I guess
she's shown some vulnerability. Because you think, you know, Paris gets mad at Rory and you think, oh, Francie's whole manipulation worked.
Right.
She's got them at odds. And then you realize... Francie's manipulation didn't work. Paris says, I know that what she was trying to do. Obvious, she was obvious, but I'm upset that you were talking about me behind my back and you let her know things that I wouldn't want you to know.
Right.
And then I think for me, the most heartbreaking moment of this season is when Paris says, and I thought you were my best friend.
Right.
That broke my heart.
Right. Yeah. It's real. I mean, in Rory's defense, I probably would have said... the same thing, though, because I wouldn't have known that I wasn't supposed to say anything.
Right, no. Paris is obviously this very tightly strong, nervous girl.
Right. So, but that falling out happens. So she comes over. So they're doing this speech contest and the winner gets to speak on C-SPAN.
Yeah.
I guess about the school. I'm not really sure what the speech is about. But so they both win. So Paris comes over to like... combine their speeches, but like the real reason she's coming over is because she had sex with Jamie and it was her first time and like she really needed to talk to someone about it.
Right.
So you know, they have like that moment and Rory's really supportive and like really sweet to her.
Yeah.
And that's also the episode where they get their acceptance letters.
and Paris does not get accepted to Harvard,
right,
which was her dream too. And right. she feels like her whole life has been fucking pointless.
She shows up to the speech and she's not dressed up. Her hair is a mess. You can tell that
it's
she's
wild.
Just, like,
it's pretty outlandish for this show,
right?
And for her character, because she like she basically for a character that's like done every single thing perfect since you met her. She's like, what's the point of anything, man, on supposedly live television?
Right, yeah.
And then she cries. It's she's a good actress. I love Paris's character.
Yeah. She's really good in How to Get Away with Murder, too.
Okay.
She's on that. But yeah, it's heartbreaking.
What are some of the things, I'm trying to remember what she says on TV.
She says something like, she's like, I didn't get into Harvard. I had sex, but I didn't get into Harvard. And, like, who would have thought that one of those things would happen? Like, something like that.
Right.
She was like, Rory, you're a shoo-in. You've never had sex.
Right. And she superstitiously feels like having sex is why she didn't get in.
Right.
Because she has to be perfect and she did something wrong.
Right. She did something wrong.
And the universe is punishing her. Right. That's what she feels.
Right.
It's sad.
Yeah. It's really upsetting.
Yeah.
And it's a really like vulnerable place for her to be.
But I haven't seen season 4 yet, but I feel like that's probably what that character needs.
Yeah.
Right? Same thing, similar to Rory deciding to go to Yale.
Right.
In her way, like they both needed to realize this, you know, this life, you can't have a plan at that age.
Right.
Life's going to happen and you have to learn how to go with life.
Right. I mean, she was also devastated because her whole family's gone to Harvard.
Right.
And she also didn't know what that would mean for Jamie because she can't ever, like, show any weak side to her. And she's afraid that he's not going to like her as much because she's not special anymore.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't get in.
Yeah.
To a school. Oh. It's all upsetting.
It is. But beautifully played.
Yeah.
Trix, which is
Richard's
mother, Lorelai's grandmother, returns, played by the legendary Marion Ross.
Mm-hmm. She
she's still a bitch.
Yeah.
But now she says she's gonna move.
Yeah,
she's gonna come live with them, and this freaks out Emily.
Well, she's not gonna live with them. She's just gonna.
But she's gonna be closer.
Yeah,
because she was living in England.
Yeah, and Corn was living in her house.
Right.
So that's a fun episode. It's always fun when Emily's a little freaked out.
Yes, yes. And she sees her kissing a man in a tracksuit.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
right.
And she's like, and Lorelai like does this whole big speech where she's like, listen, you can't go out there and say this. You have to be the better person. And then she's like, okay. And then she goes out and Trix insults her again. And she's like, I saw her kissing a man in a tracksuit.
In front of all her friends.
Oh, it's great.
Lorelai gives... Is this when Lorelai gives her the advice? That, like, Lorelai will sometimes do things just to upset her mom, just to, like, just for kicks?
Yeah, she basically says, like, the way to deal with it is to find the disapproval funny.
Right.
Which is both deep and sad. It's funny and sad at the same time, because she's explaining how she deals with her mother.
Right.
Just find it funny.
Right.
Right, and she says, sometimes I do things that I know you'll disapprove of because I find it funny.
Yep.
What other big things happen? The inn burns down.
Oh, yeah.
That's another big plot.
Yeah.
The inn where Suki, Lorelai, and Michelle work has a fire, and it's all fucked up.
After the Poe's visit.
Yes.
Poe convention. I don't know what it is.
The Edgar Allan Poe like society comes in like...
They both do readings of the Raven.
She keeps trying to make like Poe puns to them and they're not having it.
Yeah. She makes it to one guest that's not even part of the Poe Society. He's just there.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun time.
And Kirk sells t-shirts.
That's, yeah.
Babette ate oatmeal t-shirts.
Yeah, he decides to sell t-shirts of fun things happening in the town.
Yeah. And his first t-shirt says Babette ate oatmeal.
Which I found immediately on Etsy.
I want at least 5 of those shirts. Yeah. But the other one, the foes, pose, foes,
yeah.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
What about you also had in this season the protester.
Oh yeah, the town loner. He came down to protest, which is like, that's when you get to meet the rabbi.
Yes.
Because Taylor won't approve a protest. So the town loner gets his protest approved by the rabbi and the priest
who are BFF. They're like the two old guys from the Muppets.
Yeah. And they make fun of Taylor, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, that's actually a really fun scene. You see them later on in the season where I guess they share the same space because the mass is going on long and the rabbi is kind of like speed it up.
Yeah.
And then he leaves and he takes the crucifix and then the rabbi comes and puts the Star of David on the wall and just starts.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
Archie and David.
Yeah. So first they try to like turn it into a B&B. It's into like a B&B. But that doesn't really work. And the season ends with the son of the owner being like, she's probably just gonna sell.
Yeah, because they keep having to close off more rooms.
Yeah.
And it's just like not worth the cost of keeping it open. They only have one guest in the end.
Yeah.
So
this forces Lorelai and Suki to go after their dream of having their own inn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it does, but also Lorelai can't hold up her end of the money.
Right.
At first. So at some point during the season, Richard gives Lorelai a check for what, like $75,000 or something like that?
Because it's something, when she was born, he made an investment in her name.
Right.
And now they're building a property and they're building through it.
Right.
Right. Right.
She gives part of that investment back to her parents to pay for Chilton, which like that causes a whole thing because that just Emily assumes that, you know, they're never coming back anymore because they're no longer obligated. But also because of that money, it took Rory out of the running for student loan.
Right. Right. So now they don't have,
right?
It's sitcom-y because now it puts them in the exact same position they were in season one, where they need money for her school,
right? So
and
Rory,
they basically make the deal again.
Yeah,
but Rory makes
the deal. She goes to them and she makes the deal, and she's very clear that it's just gonna be, this deal is for her exclusively. But Emily knows that if Rory's gonna come and Rory's already at college on the weekends, Lorelai's gonna come just to spend time with her.
And to remind you, the deal was for the school money, they have to have the Friday night dinners.
Right, right.
And Rory agrees again to come to the Friday night dinners.
Well, Rory brings up the Friday night dinner, but she says that they'll reinstate it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that working out for her, though, because she does like spending time with them.
Right.
And she asked it to be alone and not just, I mean, it was alone before, I guess, for Lorelai, but.
Yeah.
Because they were just going to pay it.
Right.
But I could see it working out. I mean, Lorelai obviously thinks that she's been manipulated, but.
Yeah. So Fran dies. Fran, the woman who was the baker, who owned the inn that they wanted to buy in season two, and she said she can't sell. She
can't
finally
sell
dies, which means
alive.
They can buy in the inn. All right. So I guess we should end. The last big thing is the keg party.
Oh, yeah.
Where a lot of shit happens.
Yeah, so...
You ever go to a keg party, Jennifer?
In college, not in high school. I don't know who has keg parties in high school.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're better than me, I guess. I went to plenty of keg parties when I was in high school. Thank you very much.
I didn't know that.
Babe, I started drinking in freshman year of high school.
Oh, boy.
I was a bad boy.
I didn't start really drinking...
I'm like Judge Joe Mathis.
Okay. Until I was 22.
You waited a year.
All right.
Right. Well, you're the good girl.
The friends that I was really close with were a year younger than me.
I know, you're Applebee's crew.
Oh boy, no,
Jen hung out at
college. So I waited for them. Was I gonna drink by myself like a loser?
Anyway, so there's a keg party in Stars Hollow.
Yeah. So wait, so the reason that they're going is because Lane's band, that's their first gig.
Right. Because, what's the name of her band?
It doesn't have a name yet. Eventually. Do you want me to tell you the name?
No, let's not spoil it.
All right. It doesn't have a name yet. So they keep like going back and forth, like Zach wants to follow them to the edge of the desert.
Right.
And Brian wants the Harry Potters. Which I'm all for. So that's the reason that Rory's going, because I don't think Rory would end up at a party like that.
Right, yeah.
And she doesn't even know that there's going to be a cake.
Right.
So,
she's asked Jess to take her to prom, but Jess found out that day that he's cut so much school to work at Walmart that he is going to have to repeat that grade and he can't go to prom. And he doesn't want to tell her because he's embarrassed. So he's already in a shit mood.
Right. And he doesn't want to be around any of the people that are there. Dean is there. Oh, Dean has a new girlfriend, Lindsay.
Right. Who went to,
He
says he's going to they're getting married at the end of season three. Like, very quickly, he's like, we're going to get married.
Yeah.
It's sort of a weird, like, okay.
And Rory, like, kind of freaks out, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, that he's throwing his future away.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, he's in a terrible mood. They're at the party. She gets him to, like, kind of, like, chill out and, to, like, try to have fun. Because, you know, she's like, Dave's here. You like Dave's. You guys can hang. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, classic Jess has to, like, find an escape somehow.
Right.
So, he goes up, I guess, to the parents' bedroom.
Yeah.
He goes up to a bedroom. And Rory goes up to find him. And they start, like, kissing.
He's trying to finger blast her.
All right.
He's trying to play her like a fucking Ocarina of Time.
So they're on the bed. And yeah, he's trying to undo her pants and she's like, stop. And he keeps going. She's like, no, you really need to stop.
Right.
And then that's a whole thing because she's like, someone could have walked in.
Right.
And he's like, I didn't ask you to come up here. You did that. So he's yelling at her and she starts crying and she goes to leave.
Yeah.
And of course, Dean is right there by the stairs. So he sees it and he's mad. And then they start, you know, fighting.
They start like, they have a real fucking, it's like the alleyway fight from They Live. A reference I'm sure you don't get, but it's a fucking all-out brawl.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you think? I'm starting to like Jess more, right?
Yeah.
But I still think he's not great to Rory because he's so withholding.
Oh yeah.
Like there's the whole episode where he's got a black eye, and you find out he just got a black eye stupidly because he was attacked by an animal.
Right, and he tells her it's because he got hit in the face with a football.
Right, like, he won't tell her things. Right. He won't call her when, like, he's so...
Right.
He's so aloof.
He just, like... I know.
He's not great to her.
He's not. No, he's not. He needs to, like, work on himself. He needs to figure himself out.
And he goes to have himself a backdoor pilot to do that.
Right.
He goes to California to visit his dad and maybe start his own show.
That episode's the worst. I mean, the whole episode's not the worst.
It's pretty bad. Borstein.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that she's in. Well, she comes back, so.
Like a bad TV character.
Don't think that she's gone.
No, I won't.
Celeste, she plays the woman, like, Emily's dresser. I don't know.
I mean, it's not nearly as offensive as Miss Swan.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Miss Swan?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
That shit would be canceled in a heartbeat now. Holy moly.
Yeah.
No.
She plays like, I don't know what accent she's doing. Maybe
I don't know
British?
What she's doing. I have no idea what's happening.
I don't know.
I feel like she just walked onto the set like that and just brought her on camera. yeah, it's a weird episode. It's a backdoor pilot. But I don't know. We were saying the other day, I don't know if it was supposed to be the Jess show or if it was going to be just about his dad's family.
Right.
Because I can't see why so early on they would get rid of Jess. And like, have him go be somewhere else.
Right. And then he calls her.
Yeah.
In the next episode. So it's like, clearly they weren't done with this story.
Right.
Although, I don't know. Is it bad that I don't know how spinoffs... I don't remember spinoffs that I've watched that have been on while the other show is still on. So I don't know.
I mean, usually not, like...
Don't they usually like happen when Buffy, the show's done?
Like, in Buffy, like, they had, like, two seasons with Angel where she dated Angel, she didn't date Angel, he broke her heart, they had sex. They did everything you could possibly do with Angel. It was done. And then Angel went off and had the Angel show... And started new adventures. And
Buffy was still on.
Yeah. And, like, once a season, there would be a crossover. But, like, basically, they were in their own shows doing their own thing.
I see.
But Jess still was, like, I feel like, why would they spin off this character that's still new?
I don't know.
I don't know.
This is us. This is us is the Jess spinoff.
That makes no sense in any way. It's the past.
It will make sense when you see
where when Jess he finds goes. A time machine.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to go to Vietnam.
I'm going to save the brother I never had.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the woman who plays his stepmom, I guess.
Yeah.
Comes back later.
It's a different character.
Yeah. Amy Sherman Palladino doesn't want him go.
Well, the time before DVDs, I mean, it was 2002. This is a while ago.
Right.
Season 3 aired in 2002. So this is before, you know, the widespread, like, DVD seasons. This is before streaming. You know, back in the day in Law & Order, the same actor would play, like, a murderer 5 different times over the series. You know what I mean? Like, it was different. Think about, like, in Doctor Who, like, how often people would come and repeat shit.
I was so mad. When, what's her last name? Freema?
Agumon?
Yeah.
She played her twin sister or something?
No, I don't think it was her twin. I don't know who it was, but I was so mad. I remember texting you. Because she was like a character with lines in one episode, and then she was just his companion, and no one said anything, and I was so mad.
They make some reference about her being her cousin.
I mean, maybe later, but like, her identical cousin? Oh, I was so mad.
Well, they even did a thing where like, the Peter Capaldi, the 12th Doctor, played a character earlier on.
Right, that I know.
So they made a whole thing where it's like the Doctor can pick a face based on people they know. They just had to figure it out.
No, yeah,
there's like 12 actors in England, so.
Right, but oh, I was so mad.
But
yeah, no. I mean, at least in this, they change the way they look.
Yes, that's true. Right, Agnes Borson comes in with makeup
on. Right, and what's her face doesn't look like her at all.
Yeah.
So, they make an attempt.
Yeah. So in the last episode of season 3, you cried while watching it, even though you've seen it a million times.
The graduation.
What is it that brought you to tears? Tell us.
It's just, it's always the part when she talks about Lorelai. It's such a good speech, I think.
Okay. I don't disagree.
Oh,
it didn't make me cry.
All right. Well, whatever. You don't get it.
All
right. You haven't been with them for 3 years.
I get it.
You've been with them for like 3 months.
Okay. I get it.
It's not as much of a journey.
Yes, yes. You're right.
Same story, different journey.
Yeah.
But no, she like does her whole speech where it starts out, I live in two worlds. One is a world of books, which I feel like is quoted on like a bunch of different things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she talks about she thanks her grandparents, which is really sweet.
I found that more touching.
Yeah. It's also really touching, but I feel like that's where it starts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Richard's face is just like...
Yeah, yeah, he's so proud.
Mm. And then she just talks about her mom. I can't do it. You can do it.
Okay.
She's like, she always gave me role models from like whoever to whoever, not knowing that the person I always wanted to be was her. It hurts. It's so beautiful. Whatever.
Yeah, it is.
Whatever.
No, it is. I agree. It's a good show. So what,
I just think it's so, I don't know.
For me, it's touching. Now that I'm entering season 4. All
right.
For me, this show feels a little bit like comfort food. Mm-hmm. It's not as nutritious as other things might be, but I certainly enjoy it.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know if I think it's good. Still, but I enjoy it.
Mm.
I mean, I'm just dying to see fucking Luke and Lorelai get it.
Stop.
On, if you know what I mean.
Stop.
That Veronica Vaughn is one piece of ice, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Now, let me predict where I think season 4 will go.
Please
As
do.
Always, I will not look at you.
I'm going to tell you.
Nope, don't. I predict that something must happen between Luke and Lorelai. Maybe just a kiss. Maybe it'll be like, who's the boss? And he'll walk in on her in the shower.
Sure.
I believe Rory's going to lose her virginity in season 4. I don't know to whom, but she's going to lose it. I believe Jess is going to come back to Stars Hollow. Maybe he'll start dating another nice girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think Adam Brody and Lane will break up. I think they'll be good for a while, then they'll break up because it's a TV show, so that has to happen.
Well,
Maybe Lorelai...
I was just going to point something out. What? He has to go on the OC, so like...
Yes, he has to go to the OC. maybe Lorelai will have a few more dud boyfriends that bore me to tears.
Come on.
And that's all I got. That's all I got for now. Oh, and then maybe they'll get the end. I don't know. That's what I got. That's what I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you once again for bringing Gilmore Girls into my life.
You're welcome.
Jen Latrell, everybody. We'll see you again.
You need to get like an applause button.
Yep. We'll see you guys again in, I don't know when it's time to do season 4.
Yep.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.